In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What have you got on the top of your Christmas tree? An angel or a star? The angel belongs to St. Luke's Gospel and the story of the shepherds, but the star is from St. Matthew and the arrival of the wise men. We were talking to a friend in England a few days ago, and she said that when they came out of their crib service on Christmas Eve, they could see the International Space Station going overhead. How they could tell that that was what it was, I don't know, but anyway. And apparently some of the children thought it was Santa's sleigh. But whatever it was, it certainly wasn't there when Jesus was born, and so that wasn't the star that the Magi had been following. But every year, we get someone writing a blog or appearing on television to tell us what the star was, a conjunction of planets, a supernova, or whatever. But then you're stuck with a problem, actually. Why did only the Magi see the star, and not everyone else if it was such a spectacular sight? The thing is, though, all of this is to completely miss the point, for what matters here is the star's symbolism. And in the ancient world, there were other stories of stars appearing to mark important events, like the birth of the emperors Augustus and Nero. The Roman poet Virgil tells of a star leading his hero Aeneas to the spot where he is to build the city of Rome. That is to say, it was widely believed that the arrival of a significant event on earth was heralded by signs in the heavens. And Matthew is using this convention as a way to signal the importance of Jesus' birth. Not any baby, to ordinary parents in an obscure village, but someone who is going to change the course of history. This birth is truly a cosmic event. More specifically, this new star is saying to Herod and his like, your time is up, a new king is here. The Magi arrive to pay homage to this king. They echo Isaiah's words, which we heard just a few moments ago. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to your dawning brightness. The prophet goes on to speak of their camels laden with gold and frankincense. They have come to proclaim the praise of the Lord. But how strange. The Magi arrived in Jerusalem. They saw Herod in his magnificent palace and his wonderful royal robes. But they never imagined for a moment that this was the one they were looking for. Then they go off to Bethlehem and they kneel in homage. The light has dawned. This is their God and their King. Cradled in his mother's arms, this is Emmanuel, God who is with us, small, vulnerable, a light that others will try hard to put out, but will never be able to do so. In Matthew's Gospel, the Magi are the only ones who see the star, the only ones who pay homage to the Christ child. And it's important to remember they are Gentiles. They are from beyond the borders of the Roman Empire even. In this sense, they are our representatives. They are ones who have seen something, a spark, a tiny pinpoint of light that has made them wonder, made them uncomfortable with the way things are, and it has set them off on the most significant journey of all, a journey that will lead them not to worldly power and learning, but to God Himself. The Magi and their star have a message for us today, a message that is expressed beautifully in these words from a sermon by Lancelot Andrews, who was a 17th century Bishop of Winchester. And in that sermon he says, "What excuse shall we have if we come not on this journey? These wise men were never a whit less wise for so coming. Nay, to come to Christ is one of the wisest things that these wise men ever did. And if we be wise in the same spirit, we will follow the same star, tread the same way, and so come at last whither they are happily gone before us. Amen."